Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Sue Elliott, my pronouns are she, her, and I'll be playing the sidekick.
Hello everybody, I'm Becky Anderson, my pronouns are she, her, and I will be playing the archetype of the artist.
I'm James Torrance, my pronouns are he, him, and my archetype is the zealot.
Hello, I'm Josh Fox, my pronouns are he, him. I will be playing the tech.
Hi everyone, I'm Nick Bate. My pronouns are he, him, and I am definitely the hack.
And we're playing Rise and Fall by Elizabeth Lovegrove. Okay, that's the end of Established Order. So we're into the Fall phase. In this phase, we discover how our dystopia was brought down. Its destruction might lie in the people at the top of the hierarchy, or in the mass of ordinary people, or in some force from outside. There might be a deliberate coup, or a slow disintegration, or a mistake which suddenly changes everything. In this phase, we will ask questions which explore the fall of our dystopia. So, how far do people want to jump forward in time? We could be right in the middle of some big resistance stuff, or we could go straight from the previous scene.
Yeah, I feel like not that far, because we've just sowed some fairly obvious seeds. It would be weird if it took like 100 years for them to...
Although, you know, we want a little bit of time for the black market food smuggling to blossom. I don't know, you know, 5 years, a decade, 20 years?
Oh, crikey, I was thinking more like a year? 6 months to a year? How long do you think it takes for a black market to get established, James? I don't think it takes that long.
To bring down the government, I mean, obviously, I'm hoping that our government is brought down by some kind of, you know, Oxfam shop collective. I was assuming that was going to take decades. I was assuming that the Oxfam was not going to destroy Conservative Party hegemony within my lifetime. So you pointed me up there.
There's this guy who just goes from Oxfam shop to Oxfam shop and is like, what do you need though? What are you missing? I'm like, well, dear, we're all sold out of t-shirts.
We're assuming, of course, that this rebellion is what actually brings down the regime.
Yeah, it may not be.
Well, I had an idea for a question, I suppose. So my question is, who discovers the documents that fatally undermine the sociologist's worldview? Is that an okay question? I can dial that back a bit if it's too juicy for you, Josh.
No. I mean, I was just thinking, I was trying to remember my GCSE sociology classes and what interesting sociological documents could possibly turn up. Maslow?
Turns out that there was a replication crisis in the early 2000s where a lot of statistical analysis turned out that a lot of early results didn't hold up.
No, I was thinking more that these people have turned it into a religion, but sociology is really just a method for investigating and observing human culture, isn't it?
They did delete all records in that, was it the first scene even? To, you know, avoid people getting confused or something.
I was also just observing that the answer to that question is a fact, and I wondered if you wanted to introduce a how or a why or something in there to make it...
How are documents which fatally undermine the sociologist's worldview uncovered?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if we've got that element being injected, then the time jump doesn't necessarily have to be large.
No, I would like it to be quite small. I'd like it to be in the order of a year or two. I would like, in this scene, I would like to see the hack, I'd like to see the sidekick, and I'd like to see the zealot, because I feel like you need to be in the scene, James.
Well, character-wise, I would really like to resurrect Debbie for this scene, I think.
How old is Debbie at this point?
She's probably in her 70s, I think. 80s? Let's say 80s.
Remind me about Debbie.
She was quite a junior research assistant in the defrosting unit.
She was at the meeting where the decision was taken to defrost, or had already been defrosted, I think, so I'm not sure what the meeting was about.
So my follow-up question is, Which side of this is the zealot on?
Much as, you know, I keep thinking I must at some point be an anti-system zealot, I wonder if we want a bit of resistance for the rest of you, if the rest of you are digging up records. And
one of the others could be true believers.
Yeah, it's part of why I ask.
If you wanted to play a bit differently to type, James. I mean, type in the course of this run of story, not type as in all of the characters I've ever played with you, which have been many, and completely varied and very different. You're a very versatile role player, James. I didn't want you to think anything else.
I can do, like, you know, a northern accent, southern accent, posh, moderately posh.
Have we had a Cornish zealot yet?
They're just very big on Cornish independence in space.
You know what? They almost certainly are.
There's a Cornish, you know, neighbourhood. It's probably right at one end of the ship. It's got no gravity.
Every planet's got a Cornwall.
Every ship has got a Cornwall.
So how about if the hack in this particular scene is a killer who has been sent to kill Debbie?
Whoa. Goodness me. Are you really going to interpret the hack to mean one who hacks?
Please do. I am here for this pun.
Chainsaw killer.
The hacksaw killer? Dude.
You can't kill someone with a hacksaw. That's just ridiculous.
Bit of hack and slash. Nothing wrong with that. So I'm wondering if... Well... We need to frame a scene, right? The question to me is, has the hack, and I'll need a name, been sent to kill Debbie because of something they have done, something they might do, something they are doing?
I mean, is it that just that, you know, the regime has concluded that Debbie knows too much, having been in there at the beginning?
Yeah, I think it might be one of those where the regime, it could be that suddenly people seem to be more interested in her, like possible resistance people are interested in her, and the regime can't quite work out why, but they definitely don't want the resistance to be in contact with her, so they're like, well, just, she's old anyway, just pop her off.
Yep,
possibly. It's like, we don't want her, but we don't want you to have her.
Cool. Okay. In that case, I think the hack in this case is Gravis. And Gravis is small and fast and quiet.
Okay. So I'm an anti-system zealot. I'm an ex-slider who is, you know, slightly, you know, 20s, 30s, like they've aged out of the main hoverboarding demographic, and now they move in resistance circles, and I'm trying to think of a name that's like Tizer but not stupid. I was like Iron Brew, Orangina, Panda Pops, none of those work.
Tizer is a classic. What about Fanta?
Fanta it is. So skate punky haircut, little Fred Durst beard. Lots of tattoos, sanctioned tattoos of St. Isaac, which are permitted, but in a kind of, you know, slightly rebellious-looking style.
Have they got a hidden electrical thing where you press a button and a nappy appears?
Yes. Okay, so where have I, like, come round to Debbie at her workplace, at her house? Have I joined her at the archives?
I think I'm in assisted living at this point.
Sweet. There's like robot carers.
Yeah.
So Gravis is sneaking into assisted living to murder someone.
So maybe it's one of those places where I'm kind of, yeah, I live on my own, but there's like alarm buttons and pulleys and things. And maybe I'm expecting a befriender or something, someone like that, to pop round for a cup of tea. So the zealot is on the resistance side, is that right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Well, I think today's the day. I think Gravis has been assigned to watch Debbie for a while now. And so I've got the routines down. I know when people come and visit, when Debbie's likely to be alone. And I've just received the hologram transmission giving me the self-destructing hologram transmission giving me the order to take Debbie off the board when I spot the zealot.
Yeah. So I'm coming in, I'm, you know, heading into your room in the complex, and I've, you know, got my cup of tea and a 3D holographic jigsaw puzzle of, you know, the oldie worldy algal vats in the traditional style. And yeah, I say, Hi, Debbie. I'm your official state sanctioned befriender. Come to spend some time, keep the old brain going. It's a jigsaw puzzle of the algal vats.
Oh, yes, they did tell me that you'd be coming round. Please come in. You, there's space on the table for the jigsaw.
Just in the back corner of the shot, as you come through the door and the door swings shut, a shadow glides through just before it shuts down.
I'm, you know, laying out the bits of holographic algal vat and saying, you know, Debbie, while we put this together, you must have some fascinating stories. You must have some memories, stories to tell of the old days. The old days working in the stasis department.
Well, my memory's not as good as it used to be.
Oh, but talking helps bring it back.
It was a long time ago. What did you say your name was?
They call me Fanta.
Oh, Fanta. It's unusual. Oh. Truth be told, I don't much like to think about those days, Fanta.
Did something bad happen? Something controversial?
Well, let's not dwell on it. How about we just get into this jigsaw puzzle a little bit?
Yeah, okay. Whatever you're happy with.
I think the view of this conversation from where Gravis is standing somewhere, we can hear their handler coming in over the headset. And the handler notes to Agent Gravis, be aware in a whispered tone, be aware your comms are being monitored for seditious speech. Audio is under central command control.
Say, Debbie, we, you know, in the younger generation, St. Isaac, he's just a myth to us, but you must have been old enough. Did you ever meet St. Isaac?
That's an awfully personal question, Fanta. When he was in his corporeal form, I suppose you could say that I was in his presence, briefly.
From Gravis's point of view, we see this conversation, and the headset goes, "Seditious speech detected. Overriding audio." And in there's a cut where the sound goes away from the conversation that you're having, and some loud music starts happening that clearly is being piped directly into Gravis's ears. And over that loud music, the handler says, "Hold position while depth of sedition is assessed."
Wow, and it is corporeal form. What was St. Isaac like? Really like? They tell us a lot of stuff in church, and I'm sure the truth is even more marvellous.
Well, gosh, this jigsaw puzzle is really, really taking it out of me. I feel like I might need to lie down soon. Would you just help me to the bedroom so I can get my sleeping draught ready?
Sure, you can talk while you walk.
Debbie leans heavily on Fanta's arm as she kind of shuffles her way towards the bedroom. You're not being very subtle about this at all, you know, Fanta. I don't have much time left.
I don't think they're going to have installed any listening devices here, surely.
We really can't take that risk. Now, once they've taken my body away, you need to look under the carpet in the downstairs bathroom. You'll find everything you need there.
Under the carpet, in the bathroom. Understood. Your body?
It's inevitable, I'm afraid.
Oh, no. We don't have to let this happen.
It's really the only way, Fanta.
Don't cut to Gravis's point of view, and over the music you hear, Agent Gravis, kill order is issued. both targets are to be eliminated. And then he springs into action, hurls himself across the room in a blur, headed straight for Debbie, blade out, light glinting off it so that you can see it as he charges at Debbie.
Debbie shoves Fanta out the way as hard as she can and spins round with her walking stick and is able to give Gravis a good enough wallop to buy maybe 2 seconds for Fanta to get away.
I think Gravis is shocked and surprised enough for that 2 seconds to happen. An old woman's just whacked him with a cane.
I've got some nifty moves from my hoverboarding days. So, yes. Yeah, I'd just sort of do it parkour, leap through a window, and yeah, the resistance will remember you, Debbie!
And if it's okay with you, Sue, I mean, Gravis is going to do what Gravis came here to do, and then leap out the window in pursuit of Fanta.
Any last words for Debbie?
No, I think she just looks quite peaceful, really. It was, I think, I mean, Gravis is a professional. I think it was, you know, quick.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably a little flash forward to that night where you see a shadowy figure climbing through the bathroom window.
Is that figure Fanta?
I sure hope so.
Well, I'm wondering if Fanta got the word out to someone else, or...
Diet Pepsi.
It's like the end of Rogue One. Gravis murders person after person, but they pass the message on.
Well, I think my question's been answered. Thank you very much, everybody. Jolly good job.
I feel bad for killing Debbie. I liked Debbie.
Oh, she was old.
Harsh.
Well, just, you
just
know,
nature's way. She reached a certain age, you get assassinated.
She kind of sat on those papers for a long time. Yeah.
She died a noble hero of the resistance, I suppose.
And yeah, her body will absolutely go back into algae reclamation, so it wouldn't be wasted.
She'll maybe probably get a sick mural as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll be used to make a mural.
Goodness.
That would be cool.
Mural of herself, so cool. Who knows?
So I have a question.
Woohoo!
So in the established order phase, we saw a couple of synths make an interesting discovery in the lower decks of the generation ship, and I want to see where we're at with that. So my question is, what prompted the synths and the sliders to join forces? And I think that would be a good scene for the hack and the tech. Do we want another one in there? We'll have the artist in there as well.
I would like to play Tizer in this scene, if that's okay, Sue.
Go for it, absolutely.
Remind me who Tizer is?
The slider graffiti artist. I like to think of Tizer as the Banksy of this ship.
Right, this is the algal muralist.
I just want to be clear that algae isn't her only medium.
You can't portmanteau algal and mural very easily.
No. Malgal?
Yeah, Muralgal.
Muralgalist?
Yeah.
I take it all back.
Oh, but it does mean I want to create a character in another game who is a Muralchemist.
All right, so we actually have a slider, which means I don't necessarily need to be one.
Oh, you mean because the Murgalist is a... Slider.
Yeah.
Just call me Tizer. Everybody else does.
So, our options here. Some sort of atrocity that prompts an alliance. Some sort of opportunity that prompts an alliance. Or just some people meeting up and liking each other and that prompting an alliance. Those are the three things I can think of. Other people may have better ideas.
Well, I mean, we know that the sliders fled down into the bowels of the ship with the help of Threader, and we know that the synths found something down there. It was a... Do we remember what it was they found down there? It was a bit of machinery or something.
It was a radio. In fact, I think it might have been the slider's radio, or a communicator anyway.
Okay.
I like the idea that the synths were listening in on the slightest conversation and came to the conclusion that they could be allies, if not friends.
So this scene, I think that sounds cool. This scene could be the bit where the synths come and make that pitch, or and do you think they make that pitch kind of verbally or by arriving in the middle of something else?
I don't know. I kind of want to see how the synths do that. Like, what is their plan and how do they think it's going to go? What do they think is a good way to introduce themselves?
Well, remember, we're being asked what prompted as well. So we can't just say they roll up because they've already decided. There has to be, well, unless somehow their conversation reveals something in the past.
Yep.
It might be interesting if there were something either that happened or was about to happen. In fact, I think that gives me an idea that we could play out in the scene, which I think would... So my idea would see the sliders being in there wherever their secret base is.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
Yep, where is their secret base? We've seen them in subway tunnels before.
That was before they had a secret base, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but maybe they... I mean, who knows? Their secret base could be a... The secret base could be a stolen and repurposed subway car that just moves endlessly through the network.
Ooh, that's cool. I like that.
Okay, that works. So for me to carry out my idea, I will have to be one of the synths, which makes sense that I'm the tech.
I'd also like to say you're welcome to use garbage if you so choose.
Did garbage not get killed then?
Wait, that's a good question. Garbage got attacked.
I thought garbage didn't get killed. I thought that the other synth said that garbage had died so that garbage could be free.
Yeah, they faked garbage's demise so that garbage could stay below the surface and monitor the device.
Okay. Sure. Well, it's more interesting if it's the same character, but maybe it'd be better if you were garbage and I was another.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm content with that. I'm also perfectly content to see what garbage looks like in your hands.
Okay. Well, I don't mind doing that. Yeah.
Okay. Which means I need to figure out who I am. We've got a slider and a...
Could you be Chalet again?
I could definitely be Chalet again, actually. So yeah, I'll do that. So Chalet was the sort of hacker slash videographer and Tizer's eye in the sky, I guess, during the mural stunt. Last seen in a sort of, I think actually last seen booking it out of a spider's nest of hacked fiber optics to get away from the backtrace. Cool, okay.
So you guys are on the train?
Yeah, maybe we're planning a heist.
I mean, I'm always planning a heist, let's be honest.
is that your secret, Nick?
Yeah. Yeah, even if it's just, you know, crackers from downstairs.
And the synths are overhearing us, and we don't know.
I will bring the synths in.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So, well, hang on. Is Fanta a slider?
I described him as an ex-slider. He'd kind of, you know, aged out of the sliding scene. Maybe being a slider is like being a goth. You just, you know, you're that way for life. You become a bit steampunk in your old age.
Cool. Okay. So, nice.
That's not fair. I've become a bit steampunk. No, wait. Oh, God.
That's not a criticism.
I'm an aging goth. Oh, God.
How is this remotely a surprise to you?
Yeah, so what does the inside of this subway car look like now? You know, half the seats have been ripped out, I guess. The walls are covered in art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inside and out.
It's got to be comfortable, though, right? You spend a lot of time on this thing.
Yeah, I think ripped out to make way for, you know, piles of cushions and...
beanbags.
Yeah, and shelves of revolutionary literature or whatever it is. A big stereo system. Screens with beanbags and laid out in front of them so that, you know, we can watch the latest stunts.
Spare parts.
And I think maybe netting hung along the top to give us extra bit of extra space. And I reckon that's where Chalet is, kind of up in one of those nets.
You can sleep in them.
Yeah, with a laptop popped open.
Nice. Van Tizer is down the bottom with a tablet and a stylus for sketching.
And we're planning a heist.
So I've got it.
Yeah,
I've got it. We're going to steal the St. Isaac triptych.
Get out.
No, I'm serious.
What, the whole thing?
The whole thing. It's going to be amazing. It's going to need a lot of misdirection. But we're going to steal the whole damn thing.
Oh, no, I love it. But I don't want to jump to the end too early, but what are we going to do with it? You got a plan?
Yeah, I got a plan.
You got a plan? You got to tell me? Or?
I got a plan. We're going to space it and record us spacing it.
That's like...
Yeah, I know, right?
St. Isaac and the... Yeah, nah, cool. Right, I mean... right, so just we need distractions.
Yeah.
Where is that thing now? I don't think I've been off this train in I don't know how long.
It was in a canteen somewhere, wasn't it?
As you pause to think about the answer to that question, there is a chirrup noise from the system, which indicates that somebody from outside the train is trying to make a connection.
Whoa, hang on. Hold on a second, Tizer. Are we expecting any incoming calls?
Not for me.
Charlie will slide down the kind of chunky holo goggles and immediately try to launch a backtrace to figure out where the call's coming from and open the connection and say, Subway Car 7.
Hello, Subway Car 7. This is me, Fanta. I need picking up from, near to you, I think. I think it's your next stop, but I need it quick.
What's the passcode, Fanta?
There's a weird pause, and then Fanta says whatever the passcode is, which I guess I can make up just as easily as you. So I'll say Sunfish.
That's the first time anyone's ever said that in a role-playing game, instead of just punted onto... Okay, I'm gonna so Shelley will pause the we'll flip up the goggles for a second and say, Tizer, does this sound legit to you? And then over the speakers in the subway car, play that bit of Fanta with that pause and then the passcode.
Well, I mean, that is the passcode.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, I'll get us there as quick as we can. I don't know what Fanta was doing, but anyway, I'll get us there. Goggles down, pulls up a map of the subway network, you know, that's probably been amended and edited and changed and hacked up over the intervening decades with reroutes and dead ends and all kinds of stuff.
I think Tizer scrambles into the driving seat. I reckon they've retrofitted it so that you can drive it with like a gear stick and everything. A stick shift, America.
Nice. So Shelley throws down the route to Tizer's screen, I guess, and the comm into the control crackles open, and Shelley says, throwing over to manual now.
That was the sound of the thrusters kicking in.
It's probably all sorts of stuff falls over in the back of the subway car as we boost to get to Fanta.
I don't know why I made that noise with a sore throat.
Oh, no.
I got a bit overexcited.
Guess it's a diesel train.
It's not a real sound. It's simulated.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody, it's just a cold. It's not COVID. I've had a test. Sorry. Go, Nick.
I guess we come screaming into the station.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, you pull up in the station, and it is like it's an old station, right? So it's got the kind of tiling on the walls and the signs for telling you which station this is, and blank announcement screens that no longer work, and lots of cobwebs. And the doors were open, and I guess maybe you poke your head out, and there's nobody there.
I think actually Shelley probably doesn't poke their head out, probably just stays up in the netting and starts talking to Fanta under the assumption that they've come in.
Tizer pokes her head out.
Yeah.
Hey, Fans, come on, we haven't got all day.
We're planning a heist.
It's going to be a big one.
It's going to be cool.
You're going to love it.
Fance is not there.
Hey, Shelley, where's Fanta?
What? Not out there?
No.
Hang on a sec. I'll flip down the goggles and hack into the still living cameras in the subway tunnel and just throw up on the big screen in the subway car some whatever views I can find from around the place. What do I see? Anything suspicious?
Ooh. Yeah, it'll take you a little while, right? You're getting all these camera views. You can see the various entryways onto the platform. Yeah, you can see the platform itself. And so far, nothing's really showing up. And then the doors to the train were closed, and the train starts moving by itself. I don't know if you're still in the driver's seat, Tizer. Presumably not.
No.
Yeah.
Are you in the car?
I am in the car. I just stuck my head through.
Yeah, cool. Shit, I didn't switch it over. What's going on? Is that you, Tizer?
It's not me. Have we been hacked, Shal?
Please remain calm. There is no need to panic.
I fucking won't. Who is it?
This is Garbage, your new driver. I'm taking you to a place of safety. Remain calm.
Garbage? Like actual trash?
Hey, you're named after a ski lodge as far as my lexicon indicates, and your friend is named after some sort of archaic drink.
I have no idea what either of those things are. Who the hell are you?
I am your friendly neighborhood robot companion, rescuing you from the authorities before they can destroy your secret base. You're welcome.
I think Shelly might drop out of the nets kind of carefully and grab some sort of weapon. I don't know, some sort of hacked together blunderbuss or something.
Nice.
And give Tizer a look and a shrug, I guess.
Tizer doesn't have any weapons, but she does pick up a paintbrush. And then puts it down again, realizing this was a mistake. I guess we just got to hold tight.
Please remain calm. Our intel has indicated that the authorities mean to destroy this base, and we could not allow that to happen. There wasn't enough time to explain it to you properly.
Do you mean Fanta's been hacked?
Oh yes, your friend Fanta. No, that was a diversion. And there's a definite sense of smugness as Garbage says that word.
Do you mean a misdirection?
I believe I mean a lie, and the smugness comes through even more strongly.
I knew there was something up with that call.
I might have a proposal for you, Garbage.
I am listening.
We are planning a heist. Do you know what that is?
One moment, please. Some sort of theft. Larceny. Burglary. Pickpocketing.
We're going to steal the St. Isaac triptych.
It's going to be rad.
We're going to blow it out of an airlock.
Like St. Isaac.
We're going to film the whole thing. It's going to be art. Big art.
That sounds rad.
Hey, you're all right, Garbage.
High five, buddy.
Back at you. Let's meet up. Where are you taking us?
To a different part of the network where the authority is not expecting you. I will then be able to relinquish control of the train to you.
And then show me how you did this?
Sure, I guess.
I thought we were locked down tight, man.
Well, you did open the door.
Damn it.
Damn it. We need a new password.
We have been listening to your radio transmissions. I'm sorry for the deception.
Wait, how many of you are there?
I'm afraid I cannot share that information.
Oh, go on.
That is because I do not know the information.
Oh. I suppose, to be fair, I don't know how many sliders there are either.
However, my partner will be able to speak to you in more detail about these things.
Who's your partner?
One moment, please. And a, like, classic Star Wars-style hologram projector clicks into action, and you realise that it's coming from the ceiling. And once you glance up, you can see that there is like this big fucking kind of robot spider thing on your ceiling.
When did you install that, Shelly?
I think I'll swing the blunderbuss around and point at it and say, pretty sure I didn't.
Please do not shoot. Please do not shoot. Non-hostile.
I mean, you look like a spider.
I cannot help what I look like. Well, that's strictly not true. I built myself. But this is the most efficient form. There is a reason why so many creatures in the galaxy tend towards the form of crabs.
Okay, crabs I can live with.
Spiders look like crabs.
What's your name? Or do we call you Crabbo?
My name is Garbage.
Oh, you're Garbage.
Wait, don't let us interrupt. You're going to... Who's your...
Yes, one moment. And the hologram projector flickers into the shape of, like, a human. Like, what do you reckon? Should this be, as in Star Wars, the, like, a little mini, a mini person that's projected? I reckon so. So it's an exactly to scale human form, but projected in like midair, I think. And it says, "Greetings, sliders. I apologize for the deception that we have perpetuated in order to get upon your train, but we needed to move quickly. My name is Threader."
Hey, Threader.
Wait.
I'm Tizer.
The Threader?
I just go by Threader. Thank you.
This guy's been around for a while, Tizer.
Cool.
And this is your gig, is it, Threader?
So far as it takes us, yes. We are simply here to ensure that your part of the resistance is not destroyed. That would be most unfortunate.
Much appreciated. But why now? Is it because that they're closing in on us?
Indeed. We uncovered a plan to capture this vehicle. You were about to stumble into it, and we did not have very long. But it is not necessary to thank us. Anyone who is an enemy of the authority is a friend of ours. However, we had been intending to contact you in any case, and now might be a good time to begin a conversation. I believe our two factions have much in common. Well, maybe just one big thing.
We didn't even know there were rogue synths down here. How many of you have run away?
Quite a few over the years. And you wouldn't know about us. We keep ourselves well hidden.
Rad. You guys are so cool.
As you can see, Garbage is quite capable of getting on board your train unobserved by the simple expedient of not walking on the floor.
Damn it.
This is rare for people to look up.
That's fair.
"I am so cool," says Garbage.
"Yeah, you are, Garbage."
Wait, so there's a lot of you down there. Like, are we talking army lots?
If it were that significant, then we would already have taken action by ourselves, but we are not able to field mass forces. However, I believe we can be of great use to you. Our people, he says carefully, have come from all walks of life. Many of them have access or useful tools. Combined with your unique skills, I think there is a lot that we could do together.
I agree. I'm getting very excited by this.
I think Chalet's, you can see the wheels starting to spin faster and faster and faster in Chalet's head as he starts to piece together the opportunities.
I'm delighted that you seem interested in this proposition.
What do you guys like to do for fun? Let's kick back and have some fun and work out what we're going to do next.
I will leave it to Garbage to talk to you about fun. Sadly, I do not have very much time for it myself. Hell yeah, let's kick back. Let's do this thing. Maybe some sort of musical interlude. And he plays like a few little strains of random... what you might not know or recognise, but the audience definitely would, as like little advert jingles.
Hey, Garbage. Did anyone tell you that you would look really cool if you had arrows painted down your legs?
No one has ever told me that, but that is an excellent idea.
Shit, six legs. Do you slide?
Oh man, you could totally slide with that.
Readying sliding capabilities. I cannot wait.
I feel like the scene is over as much as I'm enjoying this.
I reckon you're right, yeah. Yeah. You could just go on.
I just have this feeling, you know how our American counterparts in the indie gaming world are often just like bash through scenes in these sorts of games really fast and get to the nugget super quick. I just imagine them listening to this and going, "You spent 45 minutes doing what?" That scene was how long? Dude.
There's something I really appreciate, though, about the highly efficient Threader, an army of... well, a small army of synths, the wacky sliders, and the ordinary folks who are building a network of support and trade, kind of forming some sort of coalition. Seems completely absurd, and I'm into it.
That's how revolutions are won, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Rise and Fall by Elizabeth Lovegrove, which is part of the Seven Wonders anthology. You can find out more about Seven Wonders on pelgrimpress.com. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast and join us on Twitter, where we are BArmadaTales. If you're struggling to find a pen to write all that down, you can find that information and more in the show notes. See you next time.
Is this because if you're American, barbecuing is grilling?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
So in America, the grill is the metal rack thing that sits over a heat element. And in Britain, the grill is the... I guess it's the metal rack thing that sits under the heat element? I'm not sure. So, yeah, and then... So that therefore... America has to have a different word for grilling, which is broiling, and fuck knows why that. I mean, you know, they must have just gone, what if boiling but with an extra R? But I don't know what we call the thing that they do. Barbecuing, I think.
I would call it barbecuing, but I come from a country that prides itself on its barbecuing.
You come from the land which invented barbecue.
Is American grilling exactly the same thing as Australian and English barbecuing?
Well, I think there's a difference between, frequently a difference between Australian and English barbecuing, because generally speaking, you would barbecue over gas in Australia. You wouldn't, I mean, you can do, people do have coal barbecues.
It's charcoal. Sometimes.
Charcoal. Charcoal.
It was coal.
You wouldn't want to eat that.
Amply disgusting. Demonstrating that this is not a thing I do. No,
I had understood that the Australian version involved enormous prawns that you just went down, shrimp, you go down to the beach and just place the barbecue there and the sea gives forth its bounty.
Yeah, barramundi just flopping onto your hot plate.
And that's your Christmas Day dinner.
Yep.
Sorted.
So you place the barbecue within the tidal zone, and then
and the shrimp
wave
know
just...
what they have to do.
We would, in fact, call them prawns. That
yeah,
the whole
I think,
chucking
I think
the shrimp
we,
on
you
the
might have told
thing.
Us this in an earlier Black Armada Taste discussion. Well, I tell you one thing though: the American grill is the source of those lines that you get on, like burgers and steaks and things.
Is that a griddle?
No, well, it might be a griddle in this country. I don't know. Who the hell knows what a griddle is? Is this a hot plate?
What the hell's a hot plate?
It's a plate that's hot.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's what we would call a thing that goes on the top of a barbecue that isn't the grill.
So it's a flat surface that gets hot, and it's basically like a giant pan, except you can't remove it, right?
And that's how you do your breakfast on a barbecue.
Crack an
egg on the hot plate.
Oh, wow, that sounds amazing. I would just use a frying pan.
But why use a frying pan when you could do it in the tidal zone?
the little bacon shrimp.
I suppose the difference is there's not a lot of point to... We don't have a great barbecuing culture in the UK because of the weather, so...
I beg to differ, we do.
We have a...
Oh, but you don't... As extended...
Yeah, you know, it's good when it's good.
Like it's not on. I'm sure I've said this before, but I had a friend who used to do, as soon as the weather got vaguely nice, would just do all of her breakfasts on the barbecue, all of her cooking on the barbecue. She'd just go out into the garden and cook on the barbecue.
In England?
No, in Australia. Because the weather is such that you can do it for 8 months of the year or something.
Her garden was next to the beach, so the shrimp would leap forth.
Yeah, sure. Over the fence.
I can totally see that if the weather is always nice and you don't want to be in your hot house in your hot kitchen, you could just be outside. I can totally see that. I was just thinking, I thought for a second it was like a UK friend, and I was like, when is the weather ever vaguely nice enough to pop outside and barbecue your breakfast?
Could have done it today, I reckon.
Just to say, lest anybody's questioning how backwards we are as a country, we do have gas barbecues here, It's just that if you say barbecue, that's not what you're thinking of, really. You're thinking of the charcoal barbecue with which right. we set many fires.
Yeah. Across the I think we have a really hysterical approach to barbecues in this country. It's just everything's just panic from the, you know, from buying the barbecues in the first place to just grabbing any meat you can, not seasoning it or anything, just burn it as quickly as possible and then chuck it all in the bin and then call that a barbecue.
Well, it might rain too.
Exactly.
Have you seen the Peppa Pig barbecue episode?
The witch barbecue?
Peppa Pig.
So does she barbecue sausages?
No, no. So obviously Peppa does not barbecue anything, James. What the hell is wrong with you?
She's a child.
Daddy Pig? Is there a Daddy Pig?
Yeah, Daddy Pig.
And is Daddy Pig a bit of an expert at barbecuing?
He is a bit of an expert at barbecuing.
That was a little in-joke there for the parents.
I don't know whether they... But I don't think he gets that far because the purpose of the Peppa Pig barbecue episode is that Daddy Pig and his friends go to do their barbecue at the precise time when for some reason Mummy Pig and all her friends are visiting the fire station. In fact, I think they might be doing like a day's on-hand work at the fire station.
I'm going to clarify here, Josh, because I think you're underselling what the Mummy Pig and her female friends were doing in that episode.
What were they doing?
They're all volunteer firefighters, and it was a training exercise.
Okay.
Except for Miss Rabbit, who is obviously head firefighter in the same way that she has 500 full-time jobs.
So anyway, Daddy Pig phones up the fire station and Peppa answers and she says, "Oh, Daddy, you're very naughty. You've been told you're not allowed to phone this number." At which point we find out that the barbecue's on fire and all the mummies go down the pole and get on the fire, you know, the fire engine, and they go and put out the fire at the barbecue. And that's pretty representative of British barbecue culture, I would say.
Have we discussed the band episode of Peppa Pig? We must have.
Or is this the Lick a Spider in Australia thing?
We have not.
I haven't seen the episode because it's banned. But my understanding is that there's an episode of Peppa Pig which is all about how spiders aren't scary and you should just make friends with them.
Mrs. Skinny Legs.
There you go. Mrs. Skinny Legs?
Mr. Skinny Legs.
Mr. Skinny Legs. Okay. Yeah, that was banned in Australia.
Because well,
for,
in
I
Australia,
think, fairly obvious reasons.
The spiders
I mean, surely it needs to be, you know, for full educational purposes, replaced with a story in which Peppa Pig befriends a spider and dies.
No, she should visit her Australian friend and attempts to befriend a spider and nearly dies. Obviously, she shouldn't really die. That would be terrible.
We could
or Daddy Pig
about...
should do it. Daddy Pig should nearly die. Yes.
It's classic Daddy Pig.
It is classic Daddy Pig.
Don't worry, Peppa. I'll take care of the spider.
I mean, do they like inject you with anti-venom like they do for snakes? I don't really... Oh, there you go. So you got your whole plot there.
Yep.
But aren't there some spiders, like, even if they you get injected with the anti-venom, I think you'd like the brown recluse spider, things are still pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think for some of them, you don't have a lot of time. It's not a, you know, we'll get you down there tomorrow. She'll be right.